Hello, everybody. This is Tommy from the Tommy, Hector and Arita podcast, and we want you to know that we're launching a bonus episode every Monday from April the 12th. This means that while the Thursday episode remains free, the bonus episode will be subscriber only, exclusively on Acast Plus. And to find out how to subscribe for this bonus episode, head to the website thlpod.com, click on the tier you want to sign up to, and start your Mondays off with a laugh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and you're all welcome to another episode on a wild, wet, windy, dank, grey kind of. It's like a morning from the 70s.
It's Galway weather.
Last night.
The sun is shining in Mayo, is it?
No, but it's just
squally. Squally.
Well, north, or maybe it's just west of Ireland weather then.
Would Mayo not be as damp as this now?
It's always bloody raining here. I mean, it's raining in Mayo a lot too, but it seems to be always raining in Galway.
The wind was howling last night in Glengalway. There's a little bit, I don't know if it's a little bit of tape or something that's caught. I have a strange triangular window in our bedroom and right up at the top.
A triangular window?
Yes. It's a triangular window, yes.
Is it for sexual energy?
It's a triangular window.
But you know, hang on, the pharaohs are always buried in triangles.
Yeah, our window is the...
Hang on for a second.
In like a pyramid?
Yeah, yeah, they're kind of a 3D triangle. So a lot of people would talk about the sexual energy of triangles. And there's some asking, is the reason why you have a triangular window? Does it help with the chakras?
We bought the house. We bought the house as a shell. So the triangular window was in it.
So it's an actual triangle window.
No, it's hard to explain.
It's a rectangle.
It's about 20 foot high. It's a 20 foot high window and it goes up into the triangle shape. Yeah. It's.
Oh, I know it. So it's a rectangle with...
Yes.
That's it's like a house, basically. If you were drawing a house, it would look like that.
And it's 20 foot high.
Well, I can't get to it. I've only a small step ladder, right? The person that hung the curtains when we moved into the house, we got curtains made for the... Because it's so
awkward.
Big.
Awkward, you
so
couldn't
big.
Make curtains.
For I'd them. Say the curtains in our bedroom are at least 25 foot high.
Okay, can I just add in the phrase off the ground?
Yeah, but yeah. I'm standing looking up at them.
What do you mean off the ground?
Like he said the window was 25 foot high.
No,
you... And I was thinking, 25 foot high...
Like, Larita, you get all this. Here,
yeah, I know
Dermot
what you
Designs
mean.
Over here. It's like that.
Is it the whole length of the house?
It's the whole height of the whole... It's like
the house,
that.
The height of the house,
And the curtains are... They come across here.
Just for those of you who can't see, which is everybody, Hector's drawn diagrams.
It's like that. The curtains go like that and then you pull them across.
It's very beautiful.
There's a piece of tape up at the top and I've only got a small four-step ladder, right? And I was away for 6 days, 5 days during the week. And the first thing, I come in last night to a howling storm. There's a...
A sort of...
The little mouse with a sander.
It's just, I have to get up there to have a look at the situation.
I'm surprised, a man of your interests outdoors, that you would only have a four-step ladder.
Yeah, I only have a small little one just to get me around for changing bulbs and stuff. I need to get the industrial size, massive step ladder that I can get up to the top of this. And I'm going to get that. You know the yoke, you put the yokes... And you can seal stuff, the silicon.
Yeah.
Silicon guns.
Every person.
But that's an ideal day for you, isn't it? Going down to the hardware store. I want a big step ladder. I want them guns for shooting. Silicon gun.
But anyway, no, last night was squally in our house. The wind coming in. Do you get... Do you
from,
feel, Do you feel the wind in
Are
Barna?
You fucking kidding me? It's like being on the fucking the Mary Celeste.
Really?
The wind, we're only 10 feet from Galway Bay. Like,
yeah.
The,
yeah.
The wind.
Does it
comes,
howl, Tommy?
It comes sprinting in here. Fucking sprinting.
Do you feel
and howling.
That?
Yeah. And you'd be in bed at 2 o'clock and you'd hear. And something somewhere around the grounds of the house would be banging. And a decision has to be made. Will I try and sleep through it or am I going to get up and walk around in my bare feet around the fucking, around the grounds.
In your jocks.
Around in me jocks, around the grounds of the house. Because the gardener be gone.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm delighted you let him home for the night.
Tommy, Tommy going round in his jocks in the dark listening to that.
With a shotgun. I'd be like.
And what do you find? A deck chair hitting off a greenhouse.
Could be fucking two pheasants riding or could be. But Commissioner, you were away over the weekend.
I was away.
Well, first of all, we have to say many, many thanks to Covis Hall.
They're keeping us tested.
With our,
yes, and
with
I
our,
and it's funny.
Our daily testing.
We have two boxes of them in Roscoe has a box of them, and I have a box of them, a separate box of them.
Can you explain to people what it is? It's a
Covisal.
Covisal. It's a.
It's a nasal test,
and it's the COVID test you
antigen
can take.
Antigen test, yeah.
That can tell you. So before we do the podcast, we take it to make sure
you
we're
always
all
describe
COVID-free.
What it is, and then Loretta corrects you on it. Loretta, tell them what it is.
No, I'm not getting involved. Tommy has perfectly answered.
We're
the
clear
question
today.
There.
I was clear during the week, and I just. To be able to go in the car and travel around the country like I've done for the last 2 weeks, I feel so privileged and happy that I can do it, that we're safe. And we have the letter from TG Carr that it's essential that we make this show because there's five freelancers working on the show. That's five families. So it's great to be out working. And I know other people are staying in their own bubble. So I don't want to sound big-headed or anything.
You don't at all, but just tell us where you've been.
I know that. But I just wanted to clear that up. And I want to say hello. Thanks.
You're very aware of that, I think.
I am aware of this.
You still want to be sounding big-headed when you're...
I'm away travelling and staying in hotels. And
where did you go so people would...
I just want to say to the policemen who have stopped me on numerous checkpoints.
Not the guards now, the policemen. Yeah. Where the fuck were you, America?
Yeah. There are no guards around here anymore. No.
To the guards.
The guards of Ireland. Stop me.
We ever stop by the guards? We ever stop by the guards and go, are there any police around?
To the Gardaí, the policemen of this country, the Gardaí, who stopped me numerous times.
That's because you drive an Audi. If I was a guard, I'd be stopping Audis all the time. Audi is a classic
with blacked out white.
That's a fucking classic criminal car.
Says he with the blacked out BMW. The blacked out Beamer 520 tearing in the back. We can't even see in the window. Hello, officer. Hello.
Come on.
Go on.
Oh, you drove on. You drove.
I was a boy, boys.
You drove.
The best checkpoint I've seen is that as I was entering into one city.
Where the fuck is that? Is that in Sligo?
I was coming from Fermoy into Cork. And what they've done is they don't block the motorway. It's really smart what the Gardaí have done. They start putting out the cones about 2 miles before that. Oh, and you're slowing down. And then you're in one lane. And they direct you up a slip road.
And the ice cream van is waiting for you.
Up at the top of the slip road.
Do you get it?
The cones.
You start putting out cones and then before you know it, you're out there.
Get him back to Vicar Street. Quick. Because I can't put up with this. It's like a 14-year-old.
He's charged up over in the corner here. He hasn't been talking to anyone since we saw him.
Get him back on stage, quick.
Anyway, so you're in Fermoy, heading towards Cork,
and
see the cones.
Put me up a slip road and I gave them a winner at the bumper in Cheltenham. I told the two Gardaí right there that Sir Gerhard would win the bumper in Cheltenham. That was last week. But anyway.
Sorry, hang on, how does that work? How the fuck does that work?
You get them.
Hey, where are you going? What was the name of the horse?
Sir Gerhard.
Sir Gerhard. 3:20, Chetland tomorrow. Fair play to you, Hector. Off you go.
Each way.
I gave them the winner chat. They were, Hector, where are you? What are you doing? I said, we're doing a show for TG Carr. All right, have you got letters and all that? Yeah, we've sent you letters. Have you? Oh, yeah, okay, good. Where are you going? Any winners for Cheltenham, Hector? I said, Sir Gerhard will win the bumper. And Sir Gerhard won the bumper. So, but the Gardaí are doing a great job around the country. I left on last Wednesday on my adventure and I drove to a very special little village. And I hadn't been in that village for 9 years. And when I drove into it, the memories flooded back of your wedding. I went to the village of Glasslough.
Glasslough in County Monaghan.
Yeah.
Beautiful part
of Castle Leslie. And I passed by the church where you got married.
Oh, yeah.
I was nearly going.
Is that near Emmyvale or something?
Yes,
like that?
Yes. Emmyvale. Yeah.
Was that where the church was? Emmyvale. Oh, yeah.
Do you know that area?
I do.
Beautiful, lumpy country up there in Monaghan.
Drove from there over to Strabane. Oh, that's wild country there. Coming across
Strabane, County Tyrone,
Oma, up to Oma, and it's Strabane, and then from Strabane cross country to Ballybuffet.
Oh yeah,
they're telling me about the time they used to do the smuggling. Anytime you're talking to someone just on the other side of the border, they'd be smuggling butter and they'd be smuggling stuff. They'd cycle across the border and they'd get stuff and bring it back. Like
yeah.
So come here. That's a kind of a cross country. You're kind of not going in a straight line. That no. Where are you heading for?
We did a story in Glasslough of a girl from Brazil who married a local from Emmyvale.
Oh yeah.
And then we wanted to get across to Ballybuffet. Evan puts on the sat nav and it brings him on the shortest. I don't know what route it brings him on, but we went pure country. Through Strabane and into Ballybuffet. Lovely town, Ballybuffet, with the pitch. That Donegal pitch on the right-hand side.
Finn Harps, isn't it?
Finn Harps. And I met a guy from Nigeria who's been there for 21 years called Luca, who came from Nigeria after winning the Under-17 World Cup playing with Kanu. Knows, played with JJ Okocha. Oh, and great story. He signed for Real Oviedo as a young 17-year-old, but it didn't work out. Didn't like Spain. His dream was to play against the boys in Barcelona. So he went back and applied for other clubs. And then didn't this letter come in from Finn Harps? Ballybuffet. Didn't even know where Ireland was. Never mind Finn Harps or Ballybuffet. Guy called Luca. Very, very decent footballer. Centre back for the Nigerian Under-17 World Cup winners.
How old is he now?
He's in his late 30s.
And was he talking about how 40. His professional career never... Why did his professional career never take off?
Many, many trials. Always came back to Nigeria waiting. Nothing ever. He never got a bit of luck. Went to Real Oviedo. Manager changed. Didn't work out. Back in Nigeria, sending videos for trials. Sending people, clubs videos. Finn Harps responded to his video. And they sent him a letter. And then he had to get a working visa. So he flew all the way from Nigeria to London. And the story he tells is magnificent. He arrives in Dublin Airport. And nobody there to meet him from Finn Harps. He comes out the door. He comes out the door and he goes, he was expecting Luca, Finn Harps. He was sitting there in nothing. And he's telling me this story in Finn Harps' pitch the other day and his brilliant Donegal English now after being 20 years in the town. He's there, Hector, nobody there to meet me, nothing. So I was looking around. I waited 5 minutes and I waited 10 minutes. And I waited 20 minutes and I waited half an hour.
He had to get to feed the O'Donnell bus.
he said all I had was a phone number. So he rang the phone number. Are you there, Nick? Where are you? He said, I'm in Dublin Airport. Oh, no bother. We have nobody there to meet you at the moment.
See you when you get here tomorrow.
So he said, hold on a second. There's a lad painting there from Ballybuffet at Dublin Airport. He's the chairman of the club. He's a painter. He's painting in Dublin Airport. He'll be down to you in about an hour. True story. He went and got a coffee and the newspaper and sat there until a guy in overalls came down and tapped him on the shoulder. Are you Luca? And he goes, yeah. He goes, my name is John Barty. I'm the chairman of Finn Harps.
Oh, stop. That's pure Irish.
It's pure. And then he went, what? He says, come on.
He was put into the boot of a car.
He said,
you're right there now, Luca. Yeah.
And then just told this brilliant story. He said, he said, then we had to walk for about 20 minutes. He said, and then we got to the car, and your man slid open the door with all the paint and the brushes. He says, fire your bag in there, Luca, and hop up the front. And then he went, I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know who I was. He said, for the next 4 hours, they drove through countryside. All he said, it was green.
Mm.
And they finally got to Ballybuffet. The way he spoke about the welcome he got in the town of Ballybuffet playing for Finn Harps was just amazing. And went to Strabane where they play cricket. And I met an Indian guy who plays cricket in Strabane. I've got some great stories, but Ballygormley, Castletown Stewart, Newton Ards, Mahara, Ballygirling, Ballygormley, Donemani, Mount Sion. There's a little place below Derry where they love cricket and it's in Tyrone. It's all surrounded by Republic.
It's a great game, cricket. The Irish cricket team did they beat England in a one-day international about 4 or 5 years ago. It was fucking tremendous. And I always thought, if you look at cricket, it's the type of game that would suit Irish people.
Yeah.
Just fucking leathering the ball with the bit of wood, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are now a test nation. There's only 13 other countries in the world that play test cricket and we're one of them. But this guy, Bobby Rye, came to Northern Ireland way back in the day and started playing for Strabane Cricket Club. And that's Strabane, which is on the banks of the Foyle. Lifford is just over the road. That's real Fenian Republican. Strabane's a GAA town.
And where was he from?
He was from India, from southern India. Sorry. Played for India in front of 100,000 people.
100,000 people.
Played, walked out.
There's 100,000 people in Strabane, Lifford.
And walked out in front of 100,000 people in Delhi. Delhi. Well, and the boys from Delhi Crime were there.
Or Delhi Crime.
There's not too many people.
And then he
arrived in Northern Ireland, played for Strabane Cricket Club, right in the heart of Strabane, and then represented Ireland. And when I met him the other day...
So he played cricket for Ireland?
Yes. And,
class.
And he came out, and he came out in this jumper. He came out in this wool Arran Island jumper that cricketers get when you play for Ireland. And on the middle of it was this lovely crest of the Shamrocks. And he goes, I've decided, I wore this today. He goes, every time I go back to India, when I bring my jumper and I play a test match or I play a celebrity match, whatever, when my friends see the jumper, it is a sought after item because the Irish cricket jumper is beautiful.
They pass out playing with the wool on it. The wool must be awful hot.
Very hot, but then you have a sleeveless as well. But he said, some of my best friends, Hector, I've made in Northern Ireland, love their cricket.
Did you notice driving up north? Because the restrictions are less up there now than they are here. Are there more people walking about? And people are allowed onto beaches now. And
but how
stuff
are they? How is it less?
Because the restrictions have been lifted.
The vaccine has rolled out.
Oh, I thought it wasn't until later on in April. When they're going to be allowed to go back playing Gaelic football and stuff up there.
So they'll be playing, isn't that the funny thing? They'll be playing club football in the north. They'll be playing club football in Armagh.
Yeah.
And 8 miles down the road in Monaghan, they won't be allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
I think there's an imminent decision coming. I think there's a meeting happening this week down here where they will sort of relax the whole thing around the GAA, so they have to because... But
I'll tell you, you realise what the world would be like the last couple of months without GAA in it and how dull it would be and how boring it is. Like, imagine if you were subjected to watching Irish soccer for the next freaking year. Like, as in Ireland playing soccer.
It was
soccer.
Bad the other night.
Like,
it was an all-time low.
I thank myself that I'm into Gaelic football when you see things like that. Like, having to watch
But football isn't the most entertaining.
Gaelic?
Yeah.
No, it is. It is club football.
Club
it's
football
part
is beautiful.
Of
course it is.
You know, there's a big gap now with not having any football.
Intermediate football is lovely. Junior football, Junior C. There's some great football
matches. It's just also the camaraderie of going there and meeting people.
Ye are county champions and it's as if you've been put up on the shelf and just, it's almost like it's in... To be a county champions and then have a year in a pandemic, it's so unfortunate.
We haven't even been drinking with the cup since. It's ridiculous.
Like, it's as if it's all forgotten, isn't it? In a way.
So what are you waiting for now in terms of...
I know, it's just nice to get it back. I just feel like, I just think there's an awful gap in, just even in the parish, like, there's no football. Like, you know, you'd be heading off now, maybe start watching under 16 matches or minor matches in a Friday evening or a Thursday.
How far away are you from the Knockmore pitch?
Oh, like a 5 minute walk, like 2 minutes.
We used to live in Rockbarton Road in Salthill and I loved it.
Just and even the noises you can hear.
Oh man, because I was a 1 minute walk away from Pier Stadium and I used to love, I'd make a flask of tea and I'd go down and I'd watch maybe Carrow Row play St. Michael's or something.
With Joe Rogan.
I loved it. I just absolutely...
A flask of tea is only 100 yards. Where were you going? An expedition?
An expedition.
Where were you off to? It was an adventure. A flask of tea in these 5 minutes from the ground.
And I loved it. But what it reminded me of was that thing you talked about ages ago about going to Park Talton and Navan as a young fella.
Yeah.
And watching matches. And so you're only a stroll from Knockmore
Pitch.
Oh,
yeah.
And is it floodlit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And would you be... Is there any talk of when the club championship might start up again?
I was talking to an influential person in the county in a county board this week, and I was kind of a bit taken aback by what he said. He said it's going to have to be the county team first, you know, and you can't expect elite athletes, like inter-county footballers, to put their life on hold until the end of this end of the year. You know, it should be the county footballers first.
That's shite.
And then the club footballers. And you're like,
but how do you pick the county footballers if you don't see them playing for the club?
It's bullshit. It's shite. Just thought, well, if that's what we've got fighting our corners in terms
it's
of GAA,
it's about the club and the juveniles, yeah, and everybody in that,
like,
club.
I just thought, Jesus, is that where we're at? Like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter about the club, basically. So it's just, you know what? I think we're going to charge into a situation in a couple of years' time where the club is just going to be completely forgotten about, or else there's going to be two completely separate sports. There's going to be inter-county football and GAA, and your inter-county team will not consist of any players that play for the club. Like,
the, well, club is the most important thing in the GAA.
Imagine he said, yeah, that. I couldn't
but
believe
but
it.
That's
I just
that, when you say influential, without saying who he was he like a county? Was he a county man?
He was a county man. What, of course, he was a county man. He wouldn't have said it if he wasn't.
Was he 50 to 60 or 60?
No.
To,
no, he wasn't.
Was he younger than that?
Yes.
Well, that's ridiculous. Mm. Out of date, archaic attitude.
And he was in a position of responsibility.
And a county player all, or a club player all his life himself, not a county player.
Right. Wow.
And to think, like, oh, you can't have inter-county players on a diet all year and, you know, having them live their life by, oh, well, you can't play inter-county till the end of the year.
Stop. Did he ask him about the mental well-being of the 14, yeah, 15, 16, 17-year-old boys and girls in the club?
And what do they think the lads that's playing club football are sitting at home eating sausages and rashers every evening, like, you know, on day, like, it's bullshit.
For those of you who are listening who might be living in big cities and mightn't be kind of tuned in totally to the beauty of your local GAA club, it must be, it is very easy for us because the three of us live in rural parishes.
Mm. Yes.
And it's very easy to go down and the club are always looking for people and delighted that people are getting involved with the club.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful way of getting to know the parish and getting to know neighbours and feeling connected. And it's fantastic. But I often wonder, say, people who live in big cities, say in Limerick or Cork, or is it, now, having said that, St. Michael's Club here in the west side of Galway City, it's an unbelievable club. Yeah. I love it.
I think that's the beauty of it, of no matter where you're living. Like, even if you're living in New York or you're living in Boston or Chicago, wherever, you're still part of that small club. Like, you know, even if your club's big, you're still part of that. And you're still getting involved in training and underage and the lotto or the cleaning, the, you know, when they do.
There are some great clubs in the city.
Tell me this now. Say you were my age, like 51 or maybe late 40s or maybe late 30s, moving into early 40s.
Yes.
And you had no children.
Right.
And you didn't mix with children. And you wanted to go down to the local GAA, like, could you just stroll down and watch? You don't have to have kids to get involved in the GAA.
Not in the slightest.
And you don't have to be able to play.
No.
No.
You can just, I'm from this parish as well, I'm just come down to watch.
There are some great supporters who and people involved in clubs behind the scenes who would never have coached, maybe never had children, maybe never married. The GAA is all encompassing and all welcoming. Would I be right to say that?
Good.
Yeah, and there's this lovely older man who, he's not from Knockmore at all, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's from up near Westport, I think.
When you say lovely now, can you just describe him?
You know, how do you describe a lovely man? Like a nice, gentle,
just kind, yeah.
Kind. Grey-haired man, soft, friendly.
We have a moustache.
Doesn't drink,
I'd be suspicious.
Just loves his gar.
But do you know what?
Does he have a moustache?
No, he doesn't have a
moustache. A beard, even?
No.
Just a lovely man, is he?
But do you know what he decided in the 90s? I don't know, but I don't know very much about him. But he decided in the 90s he was going to start supporting Knockmore.
Okay, so he wrote some songs.
He comes to
Knock
all our
more,
matches.
Knockmore!
Oh, the hills of river and the river gong and the boys and the ball. And
that kind of song.
I didn't say he wrote songs.
Oh,
I said he came and supported Knockmore. You said that.
Okay.
But he used to come to all of the Knockmore matches and he came down to
He'd drive himself now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And he came down
no
to
one in the car with him?
No.
And was it a fancy car or an old car?
I don't know what kind of a car. I never saw his car. I wasn't in his car.
But you've decided he's lovely, Luke. I'm just...
No, he was a lovely man, Tommy.
I said he's... So what he did...
Do you know what he worked at?
No.
Keep going. Don't finish this story. Keep going.
We won the league last year. And he came down.
You're not in charge of the guard, the vetting for Knockmore, by any chance.
No, I'm not, thankfully.
Obviously.
I haven't been guard the vetted by them either. But he came down and he celebrated.
There's lots of women
us
out there now who'd love to be vetted, being guard.
I'm sure there has been plenty.
Their tongue's hanging out for a vet.
Just a few questions.
You just need
here,
to go
Pauline.
To Coppers any night of the week and you can get vetted. But yes, he
Some
came down.
Some heavy vetting.
And, Seriously, please, he can't even talk.
Keep going. Don't let him do that.
I don't even know what I was telling you. Anyway, no, keep going. I was just saying the man
club.
Is not from Loughborough.
He came down
but
to
he
the
came
club.
In his, sorry, the only reason I'm asking, celebrating with
hang
us
on, let me
after we won the league. No, I'm not. And then when we won the county championship, yes. He was there again. And he doesn't drink, but he comes down to the club and he
does
celebrates.
Does everybody know him?
So we don't. Everybody knows him.
And is he part and parcel of the club?
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't
and
it? Like, it's
how,
just,
how far does he live?
I suppose when you're from somewhere that doesn't really have an exciting GA club, maybe it's good to come to somewhere like
that. But that's
that
his life. That's yeah. What his passion
but
is.
He has no connection to the village at all. Like, yeah. Just
he's from another
matches.
Parish, is he?
See,
yeah.
I've been watching a lot of cop shows recently where people do investigative procedurals.
Now, so you're suspicious of everyone.
I'm just asking questions, Larissa. You have no idea what this man works at.
Tommy, would you like to have been a detective?
Oh, I'd love to. But anyway, you've no idea what he works at?
No.
You've no idea what kind of a car he drives?
No.
And you've no idea, do you know where he lives?
I do, yeah.
Oh, you know where he lives? Okay.
Yeah. And not exactly where his house is.
Okay.
Now.
And you know what you...
But I wouldn't be able to find him because I don't know what his name is.
When he comes
is.
To the grounds...
And you don't know his name?
No.
Right, okay. let's strike him off our list immediately.
And he doesn't drink, so as you said, okay, maybe he's suspicious of that.
We'll just put what we'll do is put a tracker on his car from now on.
Oh, yeah.
I have a picture of him on my phone there. I'll show you after a while.
What's he doing in the picture?
He's celebrating the cup. He's in the picture with the cup.
Lovely.
Awesome.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So we've been listening to... What have we been listening to? We've been hearing what people have been saying in that they'd love an extra episode per week. So we'd like to take this.
Have you a belcher? Are you going to belch?
Yeah, what are you going to do, mate?
Get rid of the belch.
Stopped. We've been hearing that people would like an extra episode per week. We love doing this, so we have some very exciting news about the possibility of an extra episode each week, which we will announce in full detail.
Are we going to be vague?
Next week.
Is there a possibility of another episode?
Possibly.
Possibly.
Oh, my word.
I had to go to the hospital.
When? Oh, yeah, sure, of course you fell downstairs.
Oh, yeah, there's an update. Yeah. We posted a picture of the antlers.
And people were in support of you, realising that...
Just before your adventure started.
It was possible they would have got a fright as well.
Somebody that posted, the best thing I saw was, who in the name of Christ put a pair of antlers 25 foot high up into the sky?
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous.
They were more frightened
above
by
the door.
Antlers.
It's all there, just above the door.
Oh, yeah, everyone needs a pair of antlers. Oh,
where
are
you?
Fucking North Dakota.
They were
where
more afraid of
the antlers.
Hey,
Mom, you're in North Dakota now. Come on up to the cabin here.
Next thing you'll have a moose's head over the
no,
side.
No, we'll have to bless the moose with Shangri-La water from Fermanagh.
We have to just acknowledge the fact that you're the only people I've told really about falling
Well, no, you told the whole
well,
country.
No, Tommy, because
but hang on.
You told the whole country.
No, I told ye, right?
Yes.
And then we have to be careful what we say in this podcast.
It exploded.
Because we didn't know that journalists were listening to this podcast.
Stop it. Why? What happened?
Because it was in the papers.
It was.
And then I started getting all these texts from all these friends of mine saying, oh, I just heard you fell down the stairs. I just read you fell down the stairs.
You're a national treasure, Tommy.
Well, I'm just saying we've got to be careful what we say in this podcast because journalists are listening and they're fucking taking notes.
Well, do we? Do you know what we should do? We should make up a load of things.
We'll get the boys at Daily Crime to do a CSI on it.
We'll make up some stories and we'll tell
and see if they get printed. But anyway, yeah. I had to go into for the MRI.
This will be in the paper next week.
I know, yeah. And a nurse rode me. A nurse rode me.
What?
Huh?
A nurse rode you?
Yeah, did she?
She
yeah.
rode
what
you
happened?
Where?
In the MRI machine.
There is a lot of noises.
All I could hear was...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by Jesus, I tell you.
You were exhausted when you came out.
Oh, it was strange. I was destroyed.
Jesus Christ.
45 minutes later, Tommy comes out.
What are you at? What are you at?
So you're nothing broken anyway.
Nothing broken, but what it's going out to the hospital was a phenomenal example to me of the utter brilliance and magnificence of women.
Women?
Absolutely. It's mainly the hospital, any hospital in the country is mainly men walking around going, yeah, it hurts when I yawn and when I have had a bit of a cough for a while. Or I fell on a lump of cement and it hurt my back. All these men in pyjamas walking around like they've turned into little baby boys, and the women are just fucking tremendous. I mean, I know there are male nurses and male doctors. I know there are female patients. But in general, just as a kind of...
tremendous women.
It's tremendous women and useless men. That's the word.
Tremendous women working there.
That's what I'm saying.
They were just
general.
Fucking unbelievable and ruthless and brilliant and in charge. And I just felt safe. But there's nothing wrong with me apart from this pain of it.
Tommy, a lot of people there... when they hear the word MRI, might go, fucking hell, what the fuck? Can you just describe what happened? Did you get into the gown off?
You get into the nip, right? Yeah. And then they get bits of sellotape to stick your lad to your leg in case you start to get lively inside.
No, it does, yeah.
Really?
If you get the horn in the MRI machine...
You can't move, you see, in there.
Yeah.
No, but see, if you get the horn in the MRI, all your sperm turns to bullets. Like little ball bearings.
Right.
And the next time you'd be riding someone, you could do them awful damage because they might never talk again.
What was that thing years ago? Crossfire. Remember Crossfire?
Yeah. So they strap you down. They sellotape your lad to the side of your leg.
Right.
To make sure that's all
safety
right.
Safety first, yes.
And then they shave you. They don't have to, but I insisted.
In fairness, what are you going to do without a beard now?
No, not my face. From the shoulders down.
I know, I'll get you.
And
in you went.
So they stick a bit of sellotape as to where that they want the MRI
sellotape.
The MRI thing to go, and they put a cricket pad over the part of your leg, and then she says, "Do you give me some headphones?" And they says it gets very loud, and then they started playing some fucking pop music, and I asked them to turn it off, and she said, "But it does get fairly loud." And I said, "Matre dame to me, I'd like to hear it." And then you're lying on a yoke, and
yes.
You go into this massive donut of a thing. And it's a long tube of a donut. And you
did you feel claustrophobic now when you went in?
No, because it only went up as far as my chin. It was like, and then...
Did you put your feet in first?
Feet in, well,
your head didn't go into the machine?
No, they couldn't. They can't MRI your head.
No, but of course they can. You can turn you around and put you in. That's why an MRI is for your brain.
Is it?
Jesus, Tommy.
But listen, your feet went in first and your lad went into the machine.
The whole lot went
in. So she saw your lad on the MRI.
Oh, she had a good examination of
and
it.
She'd
and
stuck
she,
to she, your
she called... She called me wife in and the two of them were talking and then they started laughing.
They took pictures of it.
And then what did you hear?
And I thought it was a digger outside reversing. And I was going, there's something wrong with the machine.
Press the button.
You can't imagine someone designs a machine to make those noises when it's working properly.
Yes, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
It sounds like
a machine that's fucked.
Yeah.
One of them old fucking HSE machines they got from the fucking health board in Romania.
You think you need to notify them?
And I was going, what the fuck is happening?
Gets very angry.
So then I asked for a bit of Dermot Kennedy. We used to be giants. And it was fine. I've a bit of a bleed on the muscles.
Oh, be the Lord.
Oh, the Lord saved us. Yeah. Lucky it wasn't on the...
A bleed on the... So it's a bit of a hematoma and hover.
One of them. She's a tennis player.
She's a tennis player from Hungary.
But I was genuinely,
it's the utter professionalism and clear-sightedness and ruthless care that women
That's their job. They're brilliantly
they're fucking
skilled.
Amazing.
Brilliantly skilled.
There was a lady got in touch with me that listens to the podcast, and she went for an MRI scan on her brain the other day, on her head, like, and she asked them, could they play the Tommy and Hector?
Hey!
And they did play it.
Ah, nice one.
Yeah, for her while she was
in there.
That's
great.
Listening.
That's great.
So there you go, Tommy. Now you could have listened to us while you were in there.
I could have listened to us.
Yes.
I could have. Yeah.
I'm glad you're all right, Tommy, because you got
it. It hurts when I
But
do
nothing
that.
Broken, so that's good.
Nothing broken except my spirit.
Yeah.
How was your
that
week,
seems
Rita?
Seems to be recovering well, your spirit now, I have
reckon?
To say. Yeah.
Well, he was a bit more. Last week was like, I've hurt myself.
He couldn't laugh last week, and now he's chuckling to himself.
Chucky G.
How was your week? My week was pretty uneventful, but I couldn't sleep last night because we changed our schedule this week, and I was afraid I wouldn't wake up. And
how do you
mean
you changed your schedule for the podcast?
For our podcast. Oh, yeah. So I thought I was going to forget to come today. So I just, even though I had my alarm set, I slept for 2 hours last night.
Oh, for God's sake, Loretta.
I know. Yeah.
Were you wired?
I don't know. I just couldn't get over
it. Now, your fella is a very, very small sleeper as well. Your fella only gets...
Well, he slept, I'd say, last night. I didn't, but...
But does your fella only sleep like 3 or 4 hours a night anyway?
Yeah. But I normally sleep. I normally sleep all night, but last night I didn't. So.
Have you not got any little things you can put on the pillow or little drops in your mouth or little earbuds?
I could have got drunk and maybe I would have slept. Oh, but then I would have had
I'd
that
every night.
A woman who knows... you know all about your nasal sprays that you think.
Yeah.
You know all about your sleeping tablets from Thailand. Have you not got anything...
Am I drinking too much?
Yeah, I think you are.
Really?
Ah, no, sure, what's
too
much?
Well, let do your story first.
No, I don't have any story.
No,
go
but
on.
I want to know about your sleeping pattern. That's
no,
not
my
good.
Sleeping pattern is
How
normally fine.
Now?
I normally go to bed around 12 o'clock and normally wake up at around 7:30, 20 to 8. But last night, I was afraid I wouldn't wake up.
What did I text?
You know when you're, it's like when you're going on holidays and you can't go to sleep because you're afraid you'll miss the flight.
And what did I text you last night, last thing?
Safe driving.
Exactly. Did you get any safe driving? Because I was worried. I was worried.
This fella here is the most annoying person.
Jesus.
No, just for those of you who are listening,
Tommy is
pointing at me.
Yes, I am pointing at you. Because I felt sorry for him last week when we left and he wasn't feeling well.
He's in the room here with you.
Yes,
first person singular.
Felt sorry for him. And I,
for you. Look
you.
Me.
I felt sorry for you.
For
and I sent you a message on Tuesday night and I said, why don't you watch this old soccer on air.
I never got that message.
Exactly. I think he's barred me from his phone. I think
I've come off WhatsApp.
Why?
You're weaning yourself off.
I'm off it. I just got rid of it. I deleted it as an app.
Why, Tommy?
You're so weird.
Tommy, why?
Because I was getting too many fucking...
Tommy, you're not getting any message from anybody. You don't get messages.
I do. I get text messages.
From who? You don't text us.
He's the only person on planet Earth that you have to send him a text message on the traditional form of a text. Like, next thing he's going to get rid of his iPhone and have an old...
How many WhatsApp groups are you in?
I was in loads, but I deleted it.
I sent him a thing. I sent him a picture and I said, watch this. You're probably in pain. Watch this soccer match and you'll enjoy it. It was Liverpool versus Everton in the FA Cup or whatever.
What year?
1983 or something.
Oh, Gary Gillespie.
I'm not sure when it was.
Phil Babb.
But like, no, deleted the app. Why?
Because I was getting too many messages about things that weren't deserving
you
of my attention.
You can remove yourself from that group if it's about the Barna Bingo Club, if it's about the Barna Soccer Club, if it's about the Christian diocesan
Everything's on a WhatsApp
meetings.
Group. What
remove
about when you
yourself.
Go back to training and training's at
WhatsApp is the key.
I'm not sure if I'm able to go back to training with after the accident. Why is that funny?
Tommy, for fuck's sake, you didn't actually like have an accident. Oh. You had a bit of a stumble.
Oh, excuse me, it was in the papers recently. I fell down the stairs.
Jesus, Tommy,
it's a fact. It was in
the mirror.
Is that
the worst accident you've ever had?
Oh, we'll be hearing about for 6 months. He'll have that little after limp. You know the after limp.
Honestly, he's afraid to let that go. Is that the worst thing that's ever happened to you?
I think this podcast was the worst thing that ever happened to me. What do you mean?
Is it the worst accident you've ever had?
Is that the worst, Tommy? Never split your
Did
head.
Did you ever have another accident?
60 stitches.
As an adult, it was the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
No, as a human being, have you ever had a worse accident than falling down the stairs?
Well,
Jesus Christ. I
remember one Sunday, there was a little patch of green grass at the corner of one of the houses in Blackcastle Estate. And I remember one autumn morning, Sunday morning, the grass was a bit wet. We were playing show jumping. And the way we played show jump was you'd be patting yourself in the hole, go on. And I was Captain Con Power on
Kerrygold.
No, that was
Derrygold, Luxembourg.
That was Eddie Mackin.
Eddie Mackin had Kerrygold. Captain Conpower was on Rockbarton Road. And,
Go on, Rockbarton. Up you go.
And I slipped at the taking off. My taking off foot slipped and I broke my hand.
Right.
So that was the worst accident I ever had.
That's the worst.
Yes.
And then the next thing that happened to you as an adult is you fell down a few steps and now you're...
Easy girl.
And now he's like, oh my God, I'm not sure I'll be able to go out in public again.
It wasn't a few steps. It was 13 steps.
It was
a massive
This is the type of shit that's on those true crime documentaries on Netflix.
Yeah.
Where the husband pushes the wife and she fucking dies.
Yeah.
She dies and I didn't die. And I feel as if I'm being fucking sneered at because I'm still alive.
Oh,
you'd all be laughing if I was dead.
The pot calling the kettle black in here, the sneer. Hey, Loretta, the sneer's on the other foot now.
No. See how he feels.
Yeah. Can you imagine if I fucking died with the two of you sitting beside each other in the church going, I don't think it was that bad before altogether. I think just...
No, he'd feel awful bad then. Yeah, he'd feel sorry for you.
He just wanted to get off the WhatsApp group.
If I was you, I wouldn't have told anybody that I fell down the stairs. I mean, if you fell down the stairs and at least broke a rib or something.
One Sunday afternoon, I was out in the back garden. Shane, the youngest boy, says, come on out, we'll have a few touches. The dinner was nearly ready. It was a slippy, wet grass, middle of winter.
Yeah.
And I started doing a little touchy-toppy, tippy-toppy and I slipped. I cracked four ribs on the curbing, the continuous curbing on the tarmac.
Yeah.
Cracked four ribs.
Yeah.
And you went inside and rode the wife. That's how a legend you are.
I cracked four ribs, went in, had me dinner, couldn't even lift the thing, couldn't cough. My urine was bleeding, everything. I left it for 4 days. I went in. Your woman said, you've cracked four ribs. I don't know how in the name of God you've even survived. She gave me a course of cocodamol, 300 milligrams of cocodamol, which is one of the biggest painkillers there, termazepans and traziums.
Yeah.
And I was on that for a week. And I still went to work that week and I still trained the boys.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you actually even get a bruise?
He's fairly recovered this week, hasn't he?
Did you even get a bruise, like even a little small bruise?
What were you doing at the
end
of the day?
Did you even get a bruise, Tom?
Get me ibuprofen. Shut it. You don't know what pain is like. Am I right, Loretta?
Yeah.
Tell me a story about when you had pain, Loretta.
Tell me a story about your pain. I wonder, broke my ribs playing football and played a football match 2 days later again with the broken ribs.
Yes.
Tommy, I can't even go back up the stairs.
I have a little hematoma.
He's been living in the shed since. Is it here?
Oh, it's here. I have a little bleeding on my thigh. That's what I wanted to hear. And I'm going home in the car with my wife talking about that. I have a little bleed on my thigh.
This is a tough room, lads.
Do you have a bruise? What? Do you even have a bruise?
No.
Not even a bruise?
Because it's internal.
Oh, it's internal.
Three weeks' time, he'll go around and be black and white.
Them antlers will be pulled out. You need to get my stepladder to get
Tommy,
up with them.
I know, Tommy. In fairness, if you did die, we would be sad. We would be sad. But
stop.
But, it shows...
It does hurt when I laugh.
Amazing...
resilience.
Yes, that you were able to, come out of it unscathed.
And I had to...
And I mean, honestly, I mean, you haven't talked about it at all. Like, I mean, you barely mentioned it.
No, he never mentions it.
So is this the sarcasm?
No, you've been so brave, honestly. You've just been like...
Well, I tell you what, you talked about going back playing football after you got hurt.
I cracked four ribs. Cracked.
On a curb.
Yeah. On the continuous curbing. Fell completely.
It's continuous, is it? Like, it never stops. Or is it?
It goes down to his house, round his house, down the road,
back to Navan, up to Strabane, now to Africa.
Your man has continuous carbon written on the van.
But I was back to work.
Look at the way he's arcing himself.
I was back to work.
Tell me, I have a challenge for you now.
No, hang on, let me tell you. I was back to work as part of my work. I had to learn a poem.
Sorry?
Are
you going to elocution now?
What is it, speech and drama?
This was the big thing last week where we might have to alter the podcast recording timetable because he had
grade
to...
Grade one.
Because I was out, joke...
Grade one of elocution. What's your poem?
Do you know Lady Gregory and Cool Park?
She played football for Gort.
Yeah.
For Ardrahan. She was... She was the captain of Ardrahan. She asked you to write the poem.
Finest hurler Gort's ever produced.
So Lady Gregory was a great sponsor of the Irish arts 100 years ago and involved with people like W.B. Yeats in the setting up of the Abbey Theatre and Sean O'Casey and all these fantastic people.
Yes.
So Druid Theatre Company are doing this series of poems written in and around Cool Park.
Yes.
So I had to learn, even though I had fallen down the stairs, I had to learn a poem. And
were you able to?
Off by heart.
Hang on, he's going to give it to us now. What?
Well, I was,
here we go. I'll introduce it.
Hang on.
What's the name of the poem?
It's called Echo at Cool by Austin Clark.
Okay, one second.
Well, you got that bit right anyway. Or who are we to judge if you didn't?
Okay, so
wait. I'm going to introduce you.
Would you like to stand up?
Let me show, because my leg is sore.
Here we go. And now,
don't put too much pressure on it, Hector. Just let it flow.
I'm just going to introduce you, Tommy.
Like Tommy's pure serious, by the way. For anyone listening, he's like, don't put any pressure on me.
Yeah, just let it flow.
Welcome to podcast sounds all over the world. And now,
what the fuck is this?
The time is
what the fuck are you doing?
And now the time is 11:40 a.m. It's time for some poetry.
Poetry
this
corner.
Is Echo at Cool by Austin Clark.
Okay. Read by
Tommy Tiernan.
Fuck Tommy Tiernan. Just fucking, you've ruined it again. Hang on. Welcome to Poetry on Podcast. It's 7:52 Greenwich Mean Time. Here is Echoes on Cool,
Echo
a poem.
Echo at Cool.
Here's Echo at Cool
by
Austin Clark.
Read by
Tommy Tiernan.
I stood one day in the great pleasure garden at Cool, where the catalpa blossom, handing out pods in autumn, long as cigars that George Moore and Edward Martin smoked after dinner at Talaira. Sad wilderness of panicles, roses gone thorning, five leaves instead of seven grey, sportive blooms that had lost their seed and names in lengthy Latin. I stared a while beneath the copper beech at railings where guarded initials of WB and Y, AG, AJ, AE and SOC, thinking again how Lady Gregory would drive 12 miles day after day, sun raining in a phaeton along her avenues with phaeton, through the seven woods by alleys of wild privet, lake lingering, to count the swans for Willie. I came to the bust, Maecenas crumbling on his pedestal, obeyed the clear instructions in that unfinished poem by Yeats, calling to find the echo that lives by the high wall at the left-hand corner in private. Echo, whereabouts can you hear from? My task in the future, can I know? No. Must I still hope, still body on? Yet how can I be certain my way is right? Right. Tell me what thoughts had Carlo Daly, Swift, and others who called on echoes lonely as you.
Mass Mordecai and Mockery and Cool Park Posse.
Well done, Tommy.
Fuck me.
Now, while you were saying that, Christ. I thought you could write a poem like that about us coming to the shed. And it'd be a longer drive
for
than
the
12
couple
miles.
Of scenes,
now.
That's fucking decent, Tom.
That's
done.
So I learnt that off by heart and then went out to Cool Park and was filmed reciting it.
And you could stand up for that length of time, even
Tiernan
though you
had. Tiernan recites poem with cracked ribs and hematoma.
No, it was
cracked ribs and hematoma.
Down.
Well done, right? Keep on going, boys.
So
keep
well,
going.
Anyway,
that's
everybody,
great.
Echo that's, cool.
I've got a challenge
cool.
for you now.
What's that?
For Easter, you are not into climbing stairs lately because of your accident.
Yeah.
But to go back to that scene of the crime, there's a challenge that's happening over Easter, and it's the Everest challenge, where you have to climb a flight of stairs, which is one up and one down, 500 times.
He's not going near.
What do you mean, one down?
So going up and down the stairs is one flight of stairs,
yeah.
Right? And you have to do it 500 times for which it'll be kind of like if you climbed Mount Everest. That'll be
Everest
the same
is,
length.
Everest is more than 500.
Everest is 39,000 feet.
Yeah, so if you do it that many times, if you do it up and down
and
once
who's doing this?
And do it 500 times. And it's a challenge that two people from Ballinash, Shane Timlin and Fiona Rouse, are doing.
What is this?
For charity. They're doing it for charity. It's called the Everest Challenge. So I thought because of your stare
I'm already
problem,
fucking helping a blind woman run from Yall to Cork.
Yeah, well, in preparation for it, you should
you
start
to
climbing.
Did you
the
see the way
blindfolded.
She slipped in the bloody Ballina and
yeah.
Everest? Wait, is there any way, Larita, you can slip it?
Blindfolded, you could.
Oh,
do Jesus, the
stairs. We know it literally
can't. Take it easy on me.
He can't do it blindfolded.
Anyway, everybody, we hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
I'm not finished.
Goodbye and good luck. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, Loretta here. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget, we're launching a bonus THL episode every Monday from April 12th. This means that while the Thursday THL podcast will remain free for everyone, the bonus episode will be a subscriber-only exclusive on Acast Plus. To find out how to subscribe for the bonus exclusive episode, head over to our website, thlpod.com, click on the tier you want to sign up to, and start every Monday off with a laugh from April 12th.